Let's go and start where we always start. Where is that? John 3:16. How many of you have had your life changed by that passage? Cause you to have a new attitude? Amen. That's what the word should do. Doesn't matter to me what translation you have. Let's just read it out loud together. Just John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm going to share John 13, verse 34 to 35. Out of what translation? The Amplified translation. Very good. Okay. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Now, we all know this, you know, this is the Easter season. Don't get up, don't throw a rock at me. I know it's resurrection. When I was growing up, I didn't know, and it was Easter. And I didn't know what the big deal was. I didn't. To me, Easter was a new suit, having to go to church, sit through a long service, okay, and then eat jelly beans, little marshmallow peeps, okay, all the hard-boiled eggs you could find, and then deal with the stomach ache, okay, from eating all of that stuff. I really didn't know. I didn't know what the big deal was. Then we said, well, Christ rose from the dead. Okay. I couldn't wrap my head around what that meant. And really it wasn't until 1985 when I came here that I started finding out that it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the big deal is that he ain't dead anymore. And I started thinking about that. Actually, the Holy Ghost had me thinking about just what's the significance of that? So, okay, he was raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. We don't have a day for that. We need to think about it. So what's the significance? When Jesus was crucified, it said a lot of folks got resurrected. You know, so it's like, there has to be something different because it's Jesus. And so we're just going to look at that. We're not going to have time to look at all of it, but there's some things we're just going to look at because we just need to know why it was so important to understand that he lives, that he's not dead anymore. And we're going to look at some natural analogies because we live in a natural world, but let's go to John 5. I'm going to share some verses in the Amplified Bible in John 5 and in Acts 5. And there is, all you Bible scholars out there, there's so much. There's so much information concerning why this is significant. We're just going to share the ones that the Holy Ghost told us. So if there's something you know that I didn't say, it's not because I didn't know. I'm only going with what the Holy Ghost told us to talk about today. All right. So in John 5, verses 20 to 24, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses, shows him everything that he himself does. And he will disclose to him, let him see greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. Just as the Father raised up the dead and gives them life, makes them live on, even though the Son also gives life to whomever he wills and is pleased to give it." And my question, well, how can he do that if he's dead? How can he give life if he doesn't have any life? Okay. "Even the Father," verse 22, "judges no one, for he has given all judgment, the last judgment, and the whole business of judging entirely into the hands of the Son. And this is what God, this is God. He's saying, I want the Son to handle all of this. How can he handle it if he's dead? You can think about that. How can a dead person handle anything? No. Acts 5. Starting at verse 34. I really need to understand this. And this is, you know, just setting the stage because we don't have time to read it all, but this is when the, you know, when the apostles were being persecuted and they were upset because, you know, they were doing all these healings and all these miracles, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees just flat out didn't like it. And they wanted to really kill them all. And they were talking about it, but verse 34, but one of them, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was a teacher of the law and was highly respected by all the people, stood up in the council. He ordered the apostles to be taken out for a while, and he said to the council, fellow Israelites, be careful what you do to these men. You remember that Theudas appeared some time ago claiming to be somebody great, and about 400 men joined him, but he was killed, all his followers were scattered, and his movement died out. They died out. After that, Judas, the Galilean, appeared during the same time of the census. He drew a crowd after him, but he also was killed, and all his followers were scattered. And so in this case, I tell you, do not take any action against these men. Leave them alone. If what they have planned and done is of human origin, it will disappear. If it's from human origin, it will disappear. But if it comes from God, you cannot possibly defeat them, and you could find yourself fighting against God. And next line said the council followed his advice. But now, we need to think about this. Why did those other movements fail? The ones that Gamaliel was talking about. Because their leader died. And when their leader died, all the people scattered. And what they believed, what their movement was, it amounted to nothing. Because if it was all that, why was the leader dead? So you had these people, in one case, 400 people, they're coming, they're going to do something, and they say, we don't like this guy, kill him. And they kill him, and that's the end of it. Well, they killed Jesus. But if he stayed dead, we wouldn't be here. And Christianity would not be spreading the way it's spreading. So God knew it was very important that our Savior, although he had to be killed, is very much alive. Because think about what happened. Let me look at Matthew. Matthew 26. Because there's a principle that the devil understands this principle. Matthew 26, verse 31. I'm still in the Amplified. Then Jesus said to them, you will all be offended and stumble and fall away because of me this night, distrusting and deserting me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. The Bible, the King James, I believe, says I will smite. The Amplified says strike. But smite means to cut down, to slay, to kill, to afflict. And so the devil knows, kill the shepherd, sheep will go astray. I mean, we experienced that to a degree here when Pastor Clinton died. Folks, oh, he's dead, must not be any power, we out of here. And I'm not saying that, you know, to be mean, but that's just the way some folks think for whatever reason. That's what happened in these other movements. Their leader was killed and the people were scattered. And the enemy thought, we kill Jesus, and this movement will just die like everything else. That's why it's so significant that after 3 days, he was raised from the dead and is still alive, that we're not scattered, because the people were scattered. Look at Mark 14. This account always amazes me. I changed translation. This is in the Phillips translation. It's because of the way it puts it. And this is after he was in the garden and the soldiers came and they arrested him and roughing him up, and all of the disciples ran away. Because in Mark 14, verses 50 to 52 says, then all the disciples deserted him and made their escape. There happened to be a young man among Jesus' followers who wore nothing but a linen shirt. They seized him, but he left the shirt in their hands and took to his heels stark naked. Okay. Why did he run out of his clothes? Well, think about it. He was a follower of Jesus. Why did he run? He was afraid for his life. Even though Jesus told him everything was going to happen, he didn't believe it. And now he sees Jesus, who had performed all these miracles. Well, how many times, you know, do you recall if someone says something to you and you're thinking, oh, nothing's going to happen to them? Well, that was the attitude the disciples had about Jesus. And so when they see him now taken and roughed up, they didn't think that would happen. And so they figured, well, if they can do that to Jesus, then they can do it to me. I'm out of here. But that's what happened. And he ran, so terrified, ran out of his clothes. I've never been that afraid. I've run out of my clothes. I don't even want to know what that kind of fear feels like. But that's what that young man experienced. Well, because the word is smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And so now Jesus is killed. If he stays dead, will we believe everything that he said? No. Because he said that he would be raised. And so if he stayed dead and he wasn't raised, then he was a liar. And if he's a liar, then that means everything that I believed is a lie. And if everything I believed is a lie, then guess what I have? No hope. None. So it's important to understand that he lives. That's what the big deal is. Look at John 15. I know I'm moving quickly. I'm trying to get through this. I may take my time on this passage. Back in the Amplified, beginning with the first verse, we're going to look at the first 8 verses. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses it and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Now listen to this. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Now, how can this happen if he's not alive? How can you dwell in something that's dead? How many of you would let something dead dwell in you? Okay? We need to understand that. God knew it. Verse 6. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. How do you know when someone is dead, you're cut off? Now, just everyone hold up your pinky. What would happen if that pinky got severed from your hand? Aside from saying, ow, that hurts, and what would happen? Okay. Well, what would happen to that pinky? It would shrivel up and just die. Right, Doc? I mean, that's, it'll just, okay. Why? Why would it die? It, everything that it needs to thrive, it's cut off. It can't get what it needs. Well, Jesus said, he the vine, we're the branches. So what would happen if that same pinky is attached to your, to a hand, but that body is dead? It's attached. What would happen to it? It would still shrivel up and die. Why? Because what it's attached to is dead, has no life-giving force, because it's dead. In the same way, Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can't do anything. And then he gets killed on the cross and buried. How come we didn't shrivel up? Think about that. Because after 3 days, he arose alive. And because we stay connected, vitally connected, we thrive. Just because he lives. I mean, that's why. He has to be alive. I don't usually do rhymey things, and this just came up. Okay. Anybody could check. It's not. You won't find it in here. You know, he has to be alive so we can thrive. Okay. He has to be. If we're not thriving, I mean, if he's not living, we're not thriving. But there's something else. If a person does not dwell in me, he's thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it'll be done. Ask whatever you will. Why? Because he lives. I hope none of you have ever done that, but you've never gone to the graveyard and spoken to a headstone and started telling it what you wanted. And it said, okay, bless you, my son, my daughter, here it is. Okay. No, because it's dead. We go and we make our requests to a very live Jesus. And because of that, we bear fruit. And Jesus said in verse 8, when you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored. So if Jesus remained dead, we bear no fruit, how could Father be honored? How could that happen? It couldn't. That's why God had to set the stage to allow him to be raised from the dead. See, I was on, when we went to Sight and Sound, and I didn't have, I just forgot a couple of things that we wanted to bring, and one of them was my notebook. Because I just knew all I had was this envelope that had to just write things on. Because I'm sitting there, we're on the bus, one time we were in the theater, and I'm hearing the Holy Ghost say things to me about today, and I'm like, I should have brought my notebook. But one of the things he told me was, look at Romans 8. There's another reason why we have to understand the significance of Jesus being alive, that he didn't stay dead. Romans 8. Let's see, where do I want to start? Well, I'm just going to start at verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Well, if that spirit couldn't raise him from the dead, and it's in us, what happens to us? When you think about that, it says that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. You think about that. That's why it's significant that Jesus Christ is alive, that he was raised from the dead, because now all the power that raised him from the dead, all the power that raised Lazarus from the dead, all the power that raised all those folks from the dead when Jesus died, dwells in us, quickens us, makes us alive. So if he's not alive, we can't be made alive. And we have to understand it. That's why we're celebrating this day. That's why we have power. We were singing two songs today about power, power, power. We do need his power, but guess what? We have it. Why do we have it? Because he lives. That's why we have it. Just think about something. I'm going to give you no power over the enemy. Give you the same power I have over the enemy. But when I face the enemy, he kills me. Okay. You think about that. I give you power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Hopefully you'll know how to use it, because I didn't know, because he killed me. You see how that? He's alive. The reason we have power over the enemy, as a matter of fact, power over all the power of the enemy, is because he took the enemy's nuclear weapon, death, and beat it. That's all the enemy has to bring. The worst he can bring is death. And because Jesus died, remember the song we sang, Jesus died over death, he did conquer. He was raised from the dead. So he lives. So guess what? Death for the believer is defeated. Just because if he had stayed dead, death would have the victory. But death couldn't keep him. The grave couldn't keep him. And it can't keep us either. It can't keep us either. Doesn't mean, why do I have to die? Because the Bible says it's appointed by man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So really, you don't need to be concerned about death. You'd be concerned about the judgment. I mean, that's what it is. And if you're living your life the way Father instructs you, you don't have to be concerned about the judgment. So when you think about that, why are we afraid of a defeated enemy? Because he's called death. Jesus wasn't. He said, oh, no, I know in my head, but I'm feeling these things. Well, Jesus felt them. What did he do? He went to the garden and he prayed. And the Bible says that he was in agony and he was sweating, and his sweat was like great drops of blood. That's how anguished he was over this. But even in that state, the only words that came out of his mouth were, if there's another way, let's go with it. If there's no other way, it's going to be your will and not mine. And that's the attitude we need to take with everything. So are death-like situations going to come? Of course they are. What are you going to do? Are you going to remember that you serve a risen Savior who has already conquered death? There's nothing left, folks. He's already conquered it. He already died. He already went to hell. And, well, think about this. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, Matthew 16, we know it, where Jesus said, thou art, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, Jesus said, what? We are the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Then he went out and he demonstrated it. He went to hell for 3 days. And the gates of hell could not keep him there. Could not. That's why the church prevails against the gates of hell. If Jesus were still dead, the church wouldn't have a chance. But because he lives, we have victory over the gates of hell. He demonstrated it. And he said we're to abide in him. So anything that he did, we should be doing. Because we're in the vine. We're connected. We're in vital union. So it doesn't matter. It should not matter what we have to go through. The other reason it's important, look at Acts 1. Begin with verse 1. It says, in the former account which I prepared, I'm in the Amplified, Theophilus. Okay. I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, special messengers whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden, and on the cross by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, talking to them about the things of the kingdom. And while being in their company and eating with them, this is after he was raised, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. Now, why was it necessary for him to have these infallible proofs? Why did the people have to physically see? Why couldn't they just go by faith? We hadn't sent the Holy Ghost. They couldn't go by faith. So, see, if you wanted to know, is Pastor Greg here, and you came in, and all you did was you just heard my voice. You just heard me talking, and no one sees me, how would you know that I'm here? Don't look up top, I'm coming back through the tunnel. Okay. And everyone would say, well, no, Pastor Greg is teaching. But then you see me. And when you see me, you say, oh, there he is, he's here. Yeah, he's teaching. And you go and say, Pastor Greg was teaching. How do you know? I saw him. I saw him. They didn't just play a tape or CD. I saw him. Well, Jesus rose. People had to see him. Why? So they could go and tell others. Because Jesus knew, he already said he was going to send the Holy Ghost, who was going to guide them into all truth. Someone had to. How can you have faith if no one tells you anything? Someone has to say something, and then you have to choose to believe it. So the people were saying, Jesus is alive. I saw him. I saw, and everybody believed, except Thomas. He said, I got to see this for myself. But Jesus accommodated him. But he also said, you're blessed when you believe and you don't see. But someone had to document it initially. Someone had to say, I saw him. I sat and ate food with him. A dead person doesn't eat food. I saw the movies. Okay. They suck your brain out. They don't eat food. Okay. Aha, now I know what you've been watching. You say, well, you know also. I get like, yeah, that was then. That was then. I ain't now. But the point is, Jesus knew that some had to be seen. That he had to be seen by some. Pardon me, that's what I meant to say. And it was very important for people to see him so they can go and they can share. Our Savior lives. And now we have an opportunity to just believe it. Because none of us were there. But we choose to believe other things. We place a lot of belief in things that we know are false, but are just tradition. And here we have Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, and we don't want to believe that he's still alive? When he said so, and there are many, the Bible says, infallible proofs. But how many of you have a cell phone? I know you don't have it turned on now, but okay. Is there anyone here that you won't use your cell phone because you can't see how it works? Okay. Yeah. Well, how many of you see? How many of you see when you speak into that phone? How many of you actually see the words leaving the phone? You go outside and you look and see all these words coming through the air, finding the right phone to drop down into. Okay. How many of you don't use your phone because you don't see it working? How many of you check when you pick it up and start using? You check to make sure. You call your provider and say, "All your circuits working today?" No, you pick up the phone and what do? You dial a number and you expect you expect that it's going to do what it's supposed to do. You're going to do what it's purported to do, even though you never see it working. Never. We need to look at our Savior similarly. Just because you may not see him now doesn't believe he's not working. He said, I will be with you. As you go, I will be with you. I will confirm what I said with signs. So if we see the signs, what does that mean? He's confirming it. How many of you have seen a dead person confirm anything? No, it's only because he lives that we can do all of those things if we choose to. But we have to make a choice to believe what the Word says concerning our Savior. If we don't believe it, we are in trouble. Because we don't believe we're the church. Or if we believe we're the church, we don't believe we're a powerful church. That, and we start singing that song, Beat the Devil Running, and I'm So Glad. First time I heard Pastor Clinton say that, I'm like, why would a believer ever sing that song? And see, and I was going by strictly by natural circumstances. I knew who I was. I knew who I surrounded myself with. And I wasn't running from anybody. If anything else, you were going to run from us. Period. Now, I was dumb because I was in the world, but that's the attitude I have. So now I'm in Christ. I'm supposed to wimp out? No. No, I've never in my life ran away from a fight. And I'm not going to be in Christ and start now. I'm not. That's not part of my makeup, if you will. But think about his name for a moment, okay? Jesus said, in my name shall they cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. tells us in Philippians that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now let's think about this. If Jesus is dead and stayed dead, would his name mean anything? You say the sickness in the name of Jesus, like, yeah, right, we know Jesus, and you want to see where he's buried? Okay. And you expect me to leave because you use that name? Get out of my face. But Jesus is alive, which means he's already defeated the enemy. So when you say, in the name of Jesus, all right, I mean, that's like our children, because they'll come and say, I'll tell my father on you. Okay. And person says, okay, please don't do that. Okay. Because they know daddy's on the case. For me, it was like, hey, if we fight and you win, mommy will come after you. Okay. That's it. Folks would just back off and leave me alone. Now, if mommy came after them and was flattened, I couldn't use that anymore. I mean, but because she was able to back up what she said, I could use her name. Because Jesus is alive and he can back up what he said, I can use his name. I have the right to use his name. And it's only effective because he lives. But just look at some of the things that we can do. I was thinking about this. I just sat down, my eyes just started tearing up. Because he lives, our transgressions are canceled. Our iniquities are wiped out. Whatever we need to have peace, he's already handled. And we're healed because of his stripes. Because he took the stripes and is alive. Not because he took them and he died. But there's more. I can love. I can forgive. I can forgive. What? Because he lives, I can love. I can forgive. I'm changed. I have now the ministry of reconciliation. I speak words that cause reconciliation now, not division. Because he lives. I'm no longer angry. I don't have explosive anger anymore. I'm calm. I know how to forgive. I know how to love. I can actually talk to people and have a conversation without getting agitated because he lives. I can walk around in divine health. I can laugh in the face of symptoms because he lives. That's all just because he lives. I can do those things because I believe it. But also, I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm justified. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I'm not where I think I should be, but I'm definitely not who I used to be. Okay? Just because he lives. That's the only reason. That's why we're here today. That's why we make a big deal about the resurrection season. It's just because he died. He was buried. He went to hell, but he didn't stay there. He did what was necessary, and then he left. And when it was time for him to leave, all the powers of hell could not stop him. And as I said earlier, that's why he can say, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. If he stayed dead, we wouldn't have none of it. But you know what the most important thing is about him being alive? We can now receive him and have eternal life. That's what it is. And if that's all that we get, fine, but there's so much more. There's so much more. We just want you to understand that we serve a Savior that's alive, that's not dead. And because he's alive, we're changed. How many of you, you can honestly say your life has changed because you understand that Jesus lives? You know it. But that's what it's all about. That was the only way God could get us back, was for us to be changed. And the only way we could be changed was through receiving Jesus Christ. We had to. But it wouldn't have mounted to a hill of beans if he hadn't died, if he hadn't gone to hell, and most importantly, if he wasn't raised from the dead.